The Office of Management and Budget has released a much-anticipated draft policy to change the way agencies buy, manage, and oversee technology projects. The draft guidance is designed to help agencies implement the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. Tony Scott is the Federal Chief Information Officer. In this exclusive interview, he tells Executive Editor Jason Miller how the draft policy tries to create a broader conversation around IT oversight.
We've gone around and spoken with lots of groups over the last several months since the law was passed. We've gotten input from agencies, not just CIOs, but CAOs, CFOs, others in each of the agencies. We've talked to folks that have been in the government before that are now outside the government, talked to folks in industry and so on, and it's helped us shape the guidance. And the release today is more about what we're looking for input on is sort of operational. How does this land? What other suggestions will people have with regard to FITARA? The law is pretty clear. You know, how it gets interpreted and how it gets implemented is now the phase that obviously we're in. So that's the input we're looking for at this particular point.
One thing that stands out to me is the document seems to be saying, we know where Clinger Cohen went wrong over the last 20 years, and we don't want to make the same mistakes or face the same hurdles again. Is that something you had in the back of your mind as you were writing this?
So I obviously wasn't around for Clinger Cohen. People do, you know, refer back to that from time to time. And so there is some element of that, you know, to learn from what has gone on before, no doubt about it. But from my perspective, it's all about, you know, how do we land this the right way? And on the one hand, it's implement the law, and the law is very clear in terms of its intent. But there's also, you know, how that lands and how a big agency or a small agency or a complex agency, you know, can make it work most effectively. And that's really where the dialogue has been over the last several months. And again, what we hope to bolster with this public comment period.
Let's go into the draft guidance in more detail. The big one for me is the common baseline for CIO authorities. What are some of the provisions in the draft guidance that will be most impactful to agencies?
I think if you look at FITARA as a whole, the impact falls into several areas. One is it really encourages a much broader dialogue between the CIO in an agency and the other executives in the agency in terms of making sure there's alignment and conversation and consistency of direction as we, you know, spend money and as we conceive of IT project and as we deliver on programs with, you know, embedded IT as a part of that. And I think history has been a good teacher that always has not been the case. And, you know, there's been some pretty classic sort of issues when that wasn't the case. And so that's number one. And then number two is, you know, there's a lot of best practices that, you know, have been developed over the years. And we want to make sure that those are both well understood and then shared across the federal government. So the common baseline is an attempt to, you know, sort of take all of that and make sure it's, you know, well understood and visible.
One thing that OMB has heard from agencies time and again is that we're not all the same. And I think OMB is trying to recognize that in the draft guidance. Is a key piece for the agencies in the document the fact that they have some latitude within the common baseline to meet their specific needs?
It's that, but there's a couple of things that it's not. So I think there are going to be some agencies where adopting FITARA will actually be relatively easy because they're practicing many of these things or all of the things that are in FITARA already, and it's a part of the culture. And in some cases, in those agencies, it's a little bit of a yawn in terms of, you know, so what, we already do this. There are other places where either because of the complexity of the agency or unique missions or there's a wide variety of reasons where they are different, but there are real strong reasons for them to make changes in some cases or in other cases adopt the principles of FITARA in a way that, you know, still continues the goals and missions of those agencies. So in some, there's going to be, you know, a lot more change required, and in some, perhaps little. And our job in OMB is to make sure that not only the spirit of the law is, you know, embraced and institutionalized, but, you know, that it be done effectively in each of the various agencies, you know, given their mission and goals and charter and so on.
You talked about in the beginning that the policy is not just for CIOs, but others in the CXO communities as well. Are those CXOs coming around to understand why this policy is important for IT and acquisition?
I think there's generally broad agreement on that point and good visibility on that point. The degree of that, you know, obviously varies agency by agency. And, you know, we've met some organizations in the course of the socializing of this that it took a little more conversation for it to sort of really sink in. But, you know, I think at this point we're in a relatively good place, and the feedback we're getting from most agencies is they're now hard at work, you know, really absorbing this and figuring out, you know, what changes are needed, in, if any, in some cases. So that's where I'd say we're at this particular point.
There are some deadlines that you lay out in the document, one in August, one in December. What are OMB's plans to roll these policies out and others over the next few months?
FATARA doesn't exist alone. We, as you know, have FSMA, we have Circular A-130, we have the whole budget process. There's a number of things that OMB and in particular the eGov office do. And, you know, I think our view of this is if we embrace digital in a strong way, there's a couple of core principles. One is digital by definition should be a, you know, very feedback rich environment where you're learning real time, incorporating those learnings into what you do, into the very fabric and operation of what you do. And so it's our intent as we go forward, you know, through these various mechanisms to be fast learner and then a fast adopter, you know, of those lessons. And we have to do that in a responsible way so we're not, you know, randomizing agencies and those organizations. But there's no reason why it should be, you know, 10 years before something gets updated or longer. You know, we need a much faster cycle on that. So I'd say, you know, the answer to your question is this is now meant to be a continuous learning environment and something that we'll plan on making more of a flexible thing as we learn and go forward, you know, without randomizing various groups.
I just want to go to one thing as an aside, but of interest to this discussion. The fact that OMB is putting this draft policy out for public comment is a little unusual. Why did you ask for a public comment period?
Well, from my perspective, it's two things. One, you know, the federal government and our agencies and OMB, we don't exist in a vacuum, you know, that's our own little walled garden. We rely on a broad community of suppliers, you know, and other ecosystems in order to do the work that we do, policymakers and so on. And I think the public comment period is aimed at, you know, making sure that we get input from people that are just outside the sort of immediate environment of, say, Washington, D.C., or the people that we interact with on a regular basis. And so that, I think, can only help us make this better and to make sure there's broad knowledge and education of the direction that we're headed. And so that's, you know, the primary motivation behind this. And I think at the end of the day, we'll end up with something that's better for it. I've learned the lesson over and over and over again that, you know, there's a period of time where if you do this kind of thing, you end up in a better place than if you don't. And, you know, we're pretty excited about what could come out of this. We're going for public comment for a total of 30 days, but I think you'll see in the documents we send out, we're really considering the first 2 weeks as the period of time when people should get their comments in. We want to take what comes in the first 2 weeks and then potentially pose additional questions or seek clarification, again, depending on what comes in the first 2 weeks during the second half of the 30 days. So, you know, we want to move with some sense of urgency on this, and I'd encourage people that want to submit comments to do so in the first period so that we can get that input and do a quick turnaround on that. So Don't wait till the last minute.
What is your message to CIOs, CXOs, and industry around this draft guidance, and what do you want them to take from this?
Well, I think, and this is the conversation we've been having, which is this is a good thing at large, you know, for all of the federal government. It's good for an agency. It's good for IT. It's good for the citizens of this country who should end up with, you know, better service from each agency as a result of us embracing this and making it real. That doesn't mean in some cases that it's going to be easy or, you know, completely smooth sailing. IT is a, you know, contact active sport, if you will, and this will require a lot more contact and interaction and collaboration than anything that's gone before. And I think we should embrace it, make it work, and if there are pieces that don't work, fix it quickly. So I'm looking forward to a feedback-rich environment and the active engagement of all parties, not just the CIOs and the IT organizations. And I'm encouraged with what I see so far.